The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm the announcer, Todd Wilkerson.
And what in the world?
I just noticed that my toenails are way overdue for a good clipping.
Holy Toledo! My feet look like dragon's claws.
How did it get to this point?
Maybe the vet can do something for me.
Wow, it's just nasty. Yeah, and now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Boy, do we have a show today. In a couple of seconds in this segment, Michelle Bachmann, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, is coming on the program. And where is she coming from? Oh, I don't mean ideologically, because we know that. She is physically coming from the House of the Pilgrims in Plymouth, Massachusetts. That's where she is right now. She's going to be talking to us. There's a whole thing. We won't get into that.
Yeah, she's using one of the old phones there, too, to dial in.
Yeah, very, very old. They made it out of one of those cornucopias, and you can... doesn't even work. But anyway, the Michelle Bachmann is our first guest. Later today, we're talking to our old friend Dick Morris, the political prognosticator. We have not had him on in a while. Very excited to hear his thoughts on what is turning out to be a kookier and kookier.
We used to do Tuesdays with Morris. Remember that? And now it's Tuesday.
I have no recollection. That must have been a previous host you worked with. I also want to say, I want to ask people to pray for Bevelyn Beatty. Bevelyn Beatty was on this program. You remember her as the woman who smeared black paint all over the Black Lives Matter murals in different cities. She's an activist. She is a fiery woman of faith. She was stabbed three times by black men claiming to be part of the Black Lives Matter crowd. I don't know if they were just thugs or if they were particular BLM thugs, but they stabbed our friend Bevelyn Beatty. And she's in a hospital in the DC area. And I put out a video. She needs prayers. I won't explain it now. Maybe we'll have her on the show in the next couple of days. But I posted it on Twitter and on Facebook. I hope you're following me there. I also hope you're on my newsletter list, because there are many things that if you don't follow me on Twitter or on Facebook, or even if you do, there are many things that I can't get out to you except via my newsletter. For example, tonight, there's yet another prayer call, a prayer meeting on Zoom for the speakers, and everyone else participates by Facebook Live. Last time, we had over 10,000 people participating and praying, and it gets really fiery. Chris Himes, I think I mentioned to you that near the end of it, a man pulled out a red, white, and blue Stars and Stripes shofar.
Yes, I wish I had seen that. My question was he dressed like sort of a Hasidic Uncle Sam? Because that would be beautiful.
Yes, he was dressed like a Hasidic Uncle Sam. Uncle Shmuley. Uncle Shmuley was blowing the shofar, the red, white, and blue shofar. And Uncle Shmuley might be back tonight if you tune in. It's 9 p.m. Eastern, but the details will not be clear unless you listen to my... subscribe to my Twitter account or my Facebook account, or I'll put it on Parler and Gab as well. But oftentimes the best way is to subscribe to my newsletter. So go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter. Folks, please, I know I keep asking, please sign up for the newsletter, sign your friends up. It may be the only way that I can reach you if they start shutting me down for claiming that there's voter fraud, because Twitter seems to put a warning on. If you post any evidence of voter fraud or any claim of voter fraud, they go, well, let me tell you something. The evidence, the actual evidence is now coming in. Now, the evidence always existed, but usually evidence is presented in court. So the media are kind of gaslighting when they say, where's the evidence? You don't present evidence, on TV. But to the extent that that's possible, it has been coming out. This morning, I believe someone said that it looks like Wisconsin might flip if it hasn't already flipped. It looks like Michigan might flip. This is, I think, really, we are at such a fever pitch of drama right now that you should really stay tuned. And I don't just mean to this program, but I really believe that when the legal votes are counted, President Trump will be acknowledged as the next president. And that is going to, because of how the Democrats have behaved during this season, rather than behaving in a measured way, a patient way, an adult way, they have leapt ahead and pretended that it's over, nothing to see here, it's been decided, everybody's declared that Biden is the winner. But we know, those of us who know, and we're telling you, you can't do that. The media doesn't declare the winner. They declare a projected winner. But we've gotten so used to the system working correctly that we assume that if the media says so-and-so is the winner, that's pretty much it. You'll remember the famous headline, Dewey defeats Truman. I mean, you'll remember seeing it. Most of you don't recall the actual image from when the when Truman was reelected. But the point is that the media cannot decide. And so what Biden and Harris have done very cynically, let me point out, very, very cynically, which should tip you off to where they're coming from. They had a big party, a big celebration to say, in effect, to America, it's over. And I said yesterday, when anybody says something's over, nothing to see here, all the questions have been answered. If you have a question, you're a bigot or you're behind the times or what's wrong with you. But as soon as that happens, you know they are trying to push you away from asking legitimate questions. They're afraid of having an actual conversation because an actual conversation will reveal that, in fact, it's not yet been decided. And when you have as many claims, now there are signed affidavits of voter fraud, of people witnessing things that were fishy, at least fishy. You have many, many people who said we were not allowed to witness, to oversee the counting. That is called illegal. That is a breaking of the laws of the various states in which this was reported. If that is the case, these votes either have to be recounted, or if they can't be recounted, will have to be thrown away. You cannot allow votes. You can't take somebody's word, especially a partisan. You have to have people from both sides. That didn't happen. And slowly but surely, this is coming out. And I've been saying it from the beginning. It looked fishy the night of when they said we're going to stop counting. And then the next morning at 4 a.m., suddenly votes appear. Oh, and they all happen to be for Biden, or most of them happen to be for Biden. That looks fishy. And we're at a place in our country right now where everything has to at least be clear. If the country elected Biden, you want to know that that really happened, not that it might have happened, but we don't have time to look into it. Like, we need to know. Those of us who wanted Trump to win need to know that if he was defeated fairly, right? That's the way it's supposed to work. So yeah. I wanted to say that. I also want to say that to make things more preposterous than ever, Biden opened, are you ready for this, folks? He opened an official office of president-elect. Okay, that's a gag. There is no such thing as, you know, an official president-elect. That's the kind of whole idea of the president-elect, is that, you know, it's kind of in quotes, you're holding him as president-elect. He has no status until the current president is gone. But Biden, to try to really make it clear that this is official, there's transition happening no matter what, he's opened an official office of president-elect, and it's got all of the signage behind him when he speaks. Listen, even if he is legitimately elected president, I don't think he will be, but even if he is, opening up an office of president-elect and putting up this official-looking signage is gaslighting the public. It is a joke. He should be ashamed. He should shut down that office. Maybe just put a sign on the door temporarily that says, out to lunch.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah.
Out to lunch. And understand that until it is officially decided, you can't do stuff like that. But they're doing it because I'm convinced that they know that if we pause long enough to actually look into this, if we let Trump get away with actually investigating what votes are legal and what votes are not, Biden's going to be in big trouble. And because of the way that Biden and Harris have behaved during this time and the way that media have behaved during this time, there will be riots. If you play with people like that and you make them celebrate, and then tell them, oh, sorry, we got it wrong. So that's irresponsible in the extreme. It certainly doesn't look like leadership. Anyway, we'll be right back with the great Michelle Bachmann from Plymouth, Massachusetts. Hey there, folks. Welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show. As promised, Michelle Bachmann is my guest. Michelle, welcome.
Thank you so much, Eric. It's great to be with you. Michelle Bachmann and Eric Metaxas' house. That's a good day.
Listen, you are in a house. We have to talk about this. I want to talk about the election. I want to talk about the prayer calls, the prayer meetings for the election and the fraud stuff. But I want to talk about where you are. When I think of Michelle Bachmann, I don't think of Plymouth, Massachusetts. Tell us where you are.
I'm actually in the very first house in America. It's called Lot 1. This is the very first house that was ever built in the United States of America. It was built by the Pilgrims. I'm in the very first room, Eric, of the very first house. The foundation stones of the house that I'm in are the same foundation stones that were laid by the Pilgrims. And this is a significant room. This is the very first family in America lived here, the very first prayer meetings in America.
What was their name? Was their name Papadopoulos?
No, it was not.
It was not Papadopoulos?
No, it was not. And it was not Metaxas either.
You're anti-Greek?
No. No, I love Greek. I love Greek.
We invented democracy, so watch your step, Michelle Bachmann. Did we just lose Michelle? I think we lost her picture. So, Michelle, seriously, though, do we know the date of this house?
Yes. Well, the Pilgrims landed in 1620, but it was in the fall or in the spring, actually, like February of 1621, by the time they actually had the structure up. But what I want people to know is, again, this is the first prayer meeting was held in this room. The first family lived in this room. But also, Eric, in light of what we're talking about, the very first vote ever cast in America was in this room. And it was cast for the purpose of choosing who the military leader would be. And so the Pilgrims voted to make Miles Standish their military leader for their military defense. And also the very first treaty, international treaty, was signed in this room. It was between the Pilgrims and Massasoit, the chief of the Wampanoag Indian tribe. So this all happened right here where the very first covenant was reflected in this room.
That is so staggering. And what a happy coincidence, although we don't believe in coincidences, what a happy coincidence to find you there today when I only wanted you to come on this program to talk about our election. But the funny thing, Michelle, is that you have been a major part of these prayer meetings that I've been involved in. We're doing one tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. And on these prayer meetings, on these calls, we've all been praying and sharing a little bit. A couple of us, I'm one of them, said that what it seems that is happening spiritually in this nation right now is we are being called to renew our original covenant with That's God. Right. In other words, that we are not just moving forward as America, but we're going back to renew our covenant with God, that we want to be a shining city on a hill. We want other nations to look to us, to be inspired by the freedom that we have here, the respect we have for every human being, and that kind of thing. So it is really beautiful that you really are in the spot where some of those original covenants were made, not the 1607 one referred to the other day, but the ones that the Pilgrims made. It is a little hard for me to imagine that you ended up there. Tell us why you're there.
Well, it's profound. I was here for a prayer meeting, actually, October 6th with Pastor Carter Conlon, and we were praying for the nation and the upcoming elections. I went down to the recreated Mayflower and I asked the people down there, tell me what sort of celebrations are planned for the 400th anniversary of the Mayflower Compact. And he said, everything's been canceled. Massachusetts canceled everything. And I turned to my girlfriend, my prayer partner, and I said, no, they aren't. We're going to have one. So that's what this is. We made a decision that we are going to commemorate this event. It is tomorrow. Tomorrow is the 400th anniversary of the Mayflower Compact. And what is significant about this, this is what makes America, America, because we established, or the Pilgrim Fathers established, the idea of a government by the consent of the governed. This is highly relevant this week as we're talking about our current election and whether the voters were disenfranchised or not by fraud. Because what the Pilgrim found was the fact that we would be free men, free women. We would make our choices about what kind of society we wanted and who would be our leaders. This did not happen anywhere else in the world. This wasn't going on in Europe. This wasn't going on in England. This wasn't happening anywhere else. But because these are men and women of faith who believe the Bible, who read the Bible, they saw in the Bible that God's intent for man was to be free and live under his jurisdiction and laws. So this was the Pilgrims voluntarily coming together like they did in their church group. They had their church covenant, but then they needed a civil document for the laws that they would live in under their society. And it's interesting, it wasn't just believers. It was people who they called strangers, people who were not Christians. So this Mayflower Compact was between Christians, non-Christians. They just decide, we will voluntarily agree together. We will make our laws. We will vote on our own laws. Now, for 400 years, that's been normative for you and I. This was not normative 400 years ago. It was unique in all of human history. So the people who are watching your show, we have all been the beneficiaries of this radical yet simple move that the Pilgrim Fathers and Mothers made, all based on a biblical design. So we're here. Tomorrow is the actual 400th anniversary, and we're going to have a rededication of our nation and this covenant here in Plymouth, Massachusetts, at the home of Lot 1, the original Pilgrim home, in the very room where the very first vote was cast in the United States.
I mean, that is just so outrageous and amazing. Now, there's no way for us to see this online, I assume. There's nobody's going to have a Facebook Live thing up. It would be easy to do.
There will be, and I'll send it to you and your producers so you can go ahead and use it the way that you want.
We're going to
and
make
this
money
was just
off
fortuitous.
Of
this just was, yeah. Well, why not? That's American.
Right.
So it's fortuitous that you and I wanted to do this. And I'm so happy that you did, because this Layden Preservation Foundation that is holding this house together. I mean, do you realize how unusual this is, that you have a home that is still standing? The fact that these people could buy this home and keep this home forever into the future. This is a remarkable thing. People need to understand our heritage. That's what you do so well, is to interpret for people our heritage. And people need to understand the importance. This is the first vote freely cast in this room, first prayer meeting, first international treaty, international relations, all here in this room. And America began with families. So that's what
this is a family living room. This is so rich. There's so much here. I want to talk to you about the election, about the voter fraud, at least potential voter fraud. But it has to be said, first of all, where you are right now, again, it's kind of ground zero when you think about America. And we have to be clear, it was based on the Hebrew idea of covenant. People forget when people say, is this a Christian country? What? It might not be an officially Christian country, but it is all the more profoundly Christian, because the fundamental ideas of how we came into being were based on the idea of the Hebrew covenant. And much of that has been lost. Obviously, in my book, If You Can Keep It, I touch on this stuff. And I'm going to become, you can warn the people at the Layden Preservation Group and the house you're in, that we're going to be coming there to film a documentary for my book, If You Can Keep It. There are a number of spots in Massachusetts. We're definitely coming to Plymouth. And I also want to make clear, the reason it's called the Leiden Preservation Group is because Leiden is the name of the town in Holland where the Pilgrims sailed from. Of course, they were persecuted by King James in England. They'd escaped to Holland. And after about 10 or so years in Leiden, Holland, they said, we've had enough. Our kids are speaking Dutch. We're going to sail to the new world. And that's where, of course, Leiden comes from. But how wonderful that this preservation group, let me mention their website also, Michelle, you gave it to me. It's 400th.org. That's 400th.org, 400th.org, in case anybody wants to go there. We've got less than a minute in this segment. Michelle, what do you see happening with the voter fraud? And then we'll talk more on the other side of the break.
I think if people hang tight on this thing and let the process play out, we will see the massive voter fraud all across the United States of America. So we need to let the process play out so we can see the proof for whether or not people's votes were disenfranchised, whether or not the election was stolen. We won't know until we see the proofs.
Do you have confidence that the process will be able to be worked out? Because we see the rush to judgment that Biden and the media, they're trying to tell everybody, shut up, it's been decided.
Well, it's a big steal as far as I'm concerned. I was doing election night coverage, Eric, and I had my iPad in one hand when I was looking into a camera with the other. And I've been in politics for decades. I've seen this. I know how this works. I know how election theft works. And it was clear from the beginning that the table was set for election theft. It's a long story. We can go through that sometime.
Hang on. We're just going to go to a break. We're going to be right back. Folks, I'm talking to former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Do not go away. Folks, I have the joy of speaking with none other than Michelle Bachmann. Michelle, hard to believe you are sitting in Lot 1 in Plymouth, Massachusetts, the first house in Plymouth, Massachusetts, 400 years ago. They came and you're going to have this big thing tomorrow. I'm going to get that information out to my viewers and to my listeners on this program and all over social media, how they can participate maybe and watch this ceremony you're doing tomorrow to mark the 400th anniversary. But I want to go back to the voter situation. You're an old hand at politics. You've been involved in it a long time. So what was it that tipped you off that something was fishy?
Well, the first two things was the fact that unsolicited, all of these states were changing their voting laws and they were doing it illegally. Secretaries of state, governors, judges were illegally changing voting laws. The Constitution says only state legislatures can change laws. So I saw it was an unconstitutional changing of voting laws. They were going to dump literally masses, millions of unsolicited ballots on houses, whether they were legally qualified or not to vote. And then you saw the massive censorship coming from big tech and mainstream media. You put all of that together and you've got a formula for fraud. In my own state of Minnesota, our Secretary of State on his own, 2 days before voting started, changed election law on his own. He doesn't have the authority to do it. And he said, we're going to have massive numbers of ballots sent to every house. No one has to sign their ballot. No notary. We don't have to have any postmarks. And you can get them in 8 days after the election. You only design a system like that to have fraud. And hence, in Minneapolis, St. Paul, we had 93% of all Democrats vote. It is statistically impossible. And we have on video camera people from Ilhan Omar's campaign literally giving $200 to buy a vote. I mean, it's rank fraud. But the lawless ones who run my state in Minnesota, the governor and the secretary of state, the attorney general, they don't care. It's their political party outcome. So lawlessness works for them and they figure there's no accountability. So they're just going to keep going. That's why the people who are involved in prayer right now, we think that God is not going to be mocked. We're just praying. We're asking God for his result. Not everyone is a faith person, but for those of us who are faith people, we're just saying this is so unusual in America, what we're seeing. We're going to pray and ask God for a just, true result.
I saw Scott Adams, the creator of the Dilbert comic strip, who is a real genius. He's written many books. He's got to be on the spectrum. One of these brains like logic, you know, ultra logical. He gave a talk. I guess he does stuff online the other day, maybe 3 days ago. It didn't involve a word about faith or anything. All it was a logical look at what we have seen and an admission of whether there was a motive and whether. And one of the points that he made, and it was so clear from his presentation that anyone ought to be taking the potential of fraud very, very seriously.
Oh, yeah. And you know, the thing is that, Eric, there's not just one way to have fraud. There's multiple tricks. These tricks are old. They've been, you know, you pull them out of the fraud trick bag, and there's multiple ones. And I saw it on election night when I was doing the coverage that President Trump was winning in all of these states, and all of a sudden they shut down the counting. And the reason why they shut down the counting is they dismissed the people who were counting the ballots. Then on videotape, there's wagons wheeling into these voting centers with brand new ballots. And then they brought in new workers to count the new ballots that were interjected to the system. It was rank fraud. You could see it. I mean, I remember in real time watching it, and they had asked me during this election night coverage what was going on. And I said, well, you're watching it. You're watching voter fraud. This is how voter fraud works. So there's so much on camera. That's why I say, honestly, if we can have a due process where this evidence can be presented, I don't think it's even going to be close what the outcome is ultimately going to be. But that it has to be proved.
Well, what Scott Adams said in his presentation that struck me particularly, I guess he talked about Blagojevich talking about fraud and how the system works in Chicago, and being honest and saying that this is what we have done, this is what we've always done. It's something that I think most of us took it for granted that there wasn't much we could do about corrupt Democrat machine politics in big cities. And it's why they have been able to maintain control of these cities, most of them, for 50 plus years.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And why in the world would you let Democrats in these big machine cities control the outcome of an election because they control the outcome of the counting? And why in the world would you allow billionaires like Mark Zuckerberg? You had federal and state election money set up to do the counting. And then along comes Mark Zuckerberg with $300 million. He adds a little bit of money to all the counting, and shazam, all of a sudden Mark Zuckerberg is controlling the outcome of how this counting is going. And he had an obvious choice here. He was the one involved in censorship through Facebook. So we've got him, we've got Bloomberg, who spent $150 million. Why are we allowing billionaires with agendas, a lot of them tied to communist China? Why are we allowing them to spend their money and buy these phony election outcomes? This is so stinky, so rank. And I just think they're stealing the votes of normal, honest, decent people who showed up. And there's something really wrong and unrighteous about that. And I think it's prudent and important after 2 years and billions of dollars spent that we give this process the time so we get a true vote at the end of the day. And I think we will.
I do too. I mean, there have been little bits and pieces of news last night and already today, this morning, that indicate that some things are shifting. I think because the Democrats and the media have been so big on shutting people up and saying it's decided, it's over, that it's going to get ugly when it reverses. We're going to a break. We'll be right back. Hey there, folks. I am talking to Michelle Bachmann, who's not in Minnesota, as she pronounces it. No, she's in Massachusetts, in Plymouth, because a huge 400th anniversary celebration tomorrow of the signing of the Mayflower Compact. No, what happened tomorrow that you guys are celebrating, Michelle?
It actually was 400 years ago tomorrow that the actual document of the Mayflower Compact was signed. And for the historians on this call, understand the signing actually happened on the Mayflower, on the ship, and the ship was actually in the water off of Provincetown. But they had been blown off course because of a storm. They weren't under the jurisdiction of their original Virginia patent. And so they were honorable people. And they needed to have a jurisdiction by which they had a legal framework for their society. I mean, these are extremely cool people, the Pilgrim fathers and mothers. So they decided to covenant together, both those who had faith in God, those who didn't have faith in God, and they put together something they understood very well, which is a covenant. The idea that they would voluntarily come into an agreement together with each other and under God's watchful eye, and they would make a decision that they're going to set up their government, and their government would be one where they choose. They vote. They choose who their leaders are, and they choose what their laws are. And that is the foundation stone, Eric, for the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, and all of the various colonial charters. Rule by self-government. And it even predates that because in the Bible, it says that we need to be self-governed internally as people. We need to govern ourselves. We can't just be lawless to ourselves. So if you govern yourself, your own behavior, then you can agree together in a community and learn to govern your society because you're governing your own bad instincts.
If it were anybody speaking besides Michelle Bachmann, I'd say you ripped that off from my book, If You Can Keep It. But because I know you, you knew this stuff long before I ever figured that out. But it's true what you just said. In most of my speeches, I say exactly what you just said. And it's a funny thing because most Americans used to understand this. Most Americans used to understand that these were
biblical ideas. We were taught this. We were taught this in school.
Exactly. We were taught all these things in school. And I really am going to come there to film part of our If You Can Keep It documentary series because every American needs to know this stuff. I just want to mention, just because I find it funny, they when they came over, obviously, they were expecting to land in what they called the northern parts of Virginia, because the entire coast from Virginia upward was called Virginia for the Virgin Queen. Yeah. The queen at the time was Elizabeth. That's how long ago this was. So northern Virginia is today Massachusetts, which I just find kind of funny.
And actually, they were thinking of the New York area. That's what they wanted to do. So when they were blown off course, they tried to turn the ship around and go south and get down to Manhattan, and they couldn't. God providentially didn't allow them to go. The storms were so bad. The rocks were so bad in the water. And so they turned around, and they made the decision, this must be where God wants us. So they were in the Provincetown area. It took them... They still had to live on the ship for about 4 months after they arrived before they could actually get off the ship. But here's the other thing, Eric, that is so unique about the Pilgrim fathers and mothers. They came over as families. Now, think of this. Women, three of the women who got on that ship, there are 102 pilgrims. Three of those women were pregnant when they got on the ship. This is a remarkable act of faith. They got over here, and within 2 or 3 months, half of their number died. There was a plague that occurred. Half of their number died. There's only maybe 50 left. There are only 4 women left. So think of that. There were men. There were children. There were only 4 women left. They were in a starving time, and yet God saved them. He preserved them. And out of this little band, I would posit, my guess is you would posit, that out of this little band of 50 people came the spirit of what is the United States. The American spirit came out of Plymouth. And it's this wonderful idea of self-government that we are free men and free women, and we get to choose our destiny. It's not known around the world. It wasn't at that time. It's radical. But this is actually something that has benefited the world. And also, the truth be told, they were actually a church plant. They were a church plant, as you said, that had removed from England to New Amsterdam to Leiden and then to the United States. They wanted to bring the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ here. And as Bradford later wrote in his own inimitable poetic style, he said, their lives were like one little candle that lit 1,000. And the greatest number of missionaries to ever go out across the world came out of the United States of America. And it's really because of the faith, the tenacity and the will and the lives of the Pilgrim mothers and fathers. They were people who believed God. They believed in his word. They had the strongest faith I could possibly imagine. They weren't wealthy. They weren't many. They weren't powerful. What was powerful was their faith and the way they lived their lives. That's the Pilgrim story, how they lived their lives before God.
It is so amazing, and it's so important. Obviously, a year after 1620, Squanto comes into the picture, which is utterly, insanely miraculous. You talk about the hand of God. Amazing.
That's right.
I have a funny feeling that in the weeks and months ahead, we're gonna see God's hand in this election. So many of us have prayed, Michelle. I don't know if you'll be able to join us again tonight, but honestly, 9 p.m. tonight Eastern, a bunch of us are praying. I'll get that message out all over social media. But it is so important that we understand that we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to ask God. These things don't happen normally. Self-government and all this wonderful stuff and liberty, it's not normal in the world. And if you think it's normal, it's just because you don't know history. As you just said, Michelle, this was a crazy, wild idea. And part of the reason they left Europe was because they didn't have it over there and they wanted over here. And by bringing it to Plymouth, we can trace the spiritual line. We know that Jamestown was rather different, actually. And in a funny way, Lincoln makes that choice. Do we go with the Jamestown version, which is really more mercenary, or do we go with the more Christian version with the Hebrew covenant idea? We're going to go to a final break. Folks, I'm talking to Michelle Bachmann. If you want to find out more about the Leyden Preservation Group, go to 400th.org. It's 400th.org. We'll be right back.
Walk with me. Come on, walk one more mile. Now for once in your life, you're alone. But you ain't got a doubt.
Folks, in hour two, we've got Dick Morris. John Zmirak is ill today, so he won't be joining us, but perhaps tomorrow. Michelle, I just have to ask you a little bit more, since you really are somebody who understands politics and government. What do you see happening in this election? Because clearly it's not over.
No, it's not over. This is a really hard thing. And I think this is the link point of where I'm sitting right now in the room where the very first vote was cast in the United States, rule by the consent of the governed. That's the gift of America to the world. What the Pilgrim Fathers and Mothers did, Eric, was a hard thing. They did a really hard thing by coming here and establishing this gift of rule by the consent of the governed and the free franchise, the free gift of being able to vote. What we're going through right now in the United States of America is a really hard thing. I don't undersell that at all. This is a really hard time right now. But that's why, just like the Pilgrim Fathers and Mothers persevered through their hard time, that's what we have to do right now. We are literally, this is the eve of the 400th anniversary of the freedom and right to vote. And so shouldn't we rightfully contend that we would continue this? We don't want to just consume freedom for ourselves. We want to look 400 years into the future for the next 10 generations of our great-grandchildren's great-grandchildren. That's what we're contending for, that this great American experiment of liberty that began on the foundation of the Bible will continue for the next 10 generations. So we're here to renew the Mayflower Covenant on into the future. It's a hard thing, but it's a thing well worth doing.
I couldn't agree more. And I feel that part of what I have understood recently is that if we are going to continue this way, people of faith in particular are going to have to make their own covenant with God to say that it's time I got serious about following God. And it's important that churches get serious. I think that we've kind of been living like, 90% Americans and 10% people of faith, and forgetting that being a person of faith is supposed to be 100%. And I think that as we've pulled back, we have allowed forces on the other side to kind of come in to Main Street, to come into the cultural square and replace it with secularism, which will not lead to liberty, but leads us away from liberty. And I really, I simply feel that I think there's going to be a revival in America. I think a lot of people are going to make this link and understand, oh yeah, this beautiful thing called liberty and self-government doesn't work unless you dedicate yourself to God, from whom all blessings flow. So who's going to be there tomorrow before we go? Is it just you and a small group of Dutch people, or is it?
It's a very small group. It's a very small group of people who see how profound this 400th anniversary is. It's, you know, very small group of people, but we're here to do the work of the dedication, because remember, this is very simple and yet it's profound. The Pilgrim Fathers and Mothers were people who believed that God is who he says he is. The Bible says what it says. They believed every word of the Bible, and they applied their faith to that word, and they tried to live under it. That's it. That's the essence of the Pilgrims. And out of the well-lived life, we got this magnificent society. We can do the same thing now, to believe that God is who he is, that his Bible is the word of God, and we transform our lives through living that word under the power of the Holy Spirit, and the whole nation changes. We can make that same choice today.
I love it. Michelle, we are so grateful for your time today and for all that you're doing. I hope maybe we'll see you on the prayer call tonight, if not another time. God bless you.
God bless you and your audience. You're fabulous. Thanks, Eric.
Bye-bye.